Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We've been teaching a series on sonship. And I know we're moving, and I trust that you'll all follow me. And because I might say some stuff today that nobody likes, so you know, just remember that address she gave you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You know, some of these things I may have taught previously, but I'm a firm believer in what Peter said, that he said, therefore, I will always remind you to be ready, remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. So there's some things that we'll go over today that I believe is very important in our walking out our sonship. How many know your job? And ladies, again, when we say sonship, we're speaking of daughters too. I'm going to know there are things that we are discussing and shown in the Word that it's not just about seeing the print. It's not about, oh, amen, Pastor, that was good. It's about walking it out and it becoming us. Amen. Right? Our job as offspring of Him is to manifest His sons or daughters. And so it's important for us to understand, because really, if we don't understand things that Jesus spoke of from the beginning, what it was built on, then they're kind of abstract and we just kind of take them as doctrine. And you know, for instance, you read the Beatitudes in Matthew, you'll read it from a whole different perspective if you read it on the basis of being a servant and not a son. Sons think a certain way. And quite honestly, if we just let ourselves go into default, if you read scriptures and you say, oh, I know that. Then really, you don't really know that. Because it hasn't become you, it's just something you're familiar with in this book. So we need to make it become us. And when you read things, how many know you can always get something new every time you read a verse? Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, at least I can. Let me speak for myself. I get things new every time I read a verse. And when I go into the Word, I go into it with that sort of perspective. I don't allow myself to get put into a rut and think, oh, I know what this verse says. Because there's always something else the Holy Spirit wants to show you about that verse that maybe you didn't get the last time or you didn't see the last time. At least that's the way it is for me. So let's look at some things that Jesus said, because If you're speaking of sonship, I mean, there's no better example of a son than him, right? I mean, he's the best example we've got of how a son thinks and how he acts and operates in the earth. So we might as well look at what he says, because it's all built on the foundation of him being a son. And there's a certain environment, like we've talked about, that John brought out. There's an authentic environment of a son. Well, Jesus is dealing with some of these exact same things in this, what we call Matthew. It was actually written by a tax collector, somebody who wasn't a church dude, right? And so he records these things, but I want you to, let's go back and let's see where it starts. In, I know I said Matthew chapter 4, go to Matthew chapter 3. And Jesus goes up to John, who was baptizing, and John tried to prevent him from asking to be baptized by him, because he said, I need to be baptized by you. And so Jesus said in verse 15 of chapter 3 of Matthew, it's recorded like this, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. So you have the scenario. You have the scene. Jesus is baptized. He goes underwater. He comes up out of the water. He didn't just do this because he wanted a bath. Right? He didn't just do this. But notice what happens. He came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. What were the heavens? Open. The heavens were opened. What were the heavens? Open. When did they ever close? They had to have closed. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having prayer meetings asking for God to open the heavens. Right? Wrong. The heavens.
That's why she didn't answer.
The heavens never have closed. The heavens are open. They open when Jesus is baptized, and they never have closed. Because notice what happened. It says the heavens were open, and you saw the Spirit of God descending the way a dove would descend. I said it that way on purpose because us Western mindset, we get this picture of Holy Spirit turned into a bird and landed on Jesus' shoulder. When what it says simply saying is this, the Holy Spirit, they saw the Holy Spirit land and rest on Jesus the same way a dove would land and rest on someone. And so the heavens were open, and saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove would and landing on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Everybody say Son.
Son.
In whom I'm well pleased. Okay, what you just saw was the environment in which a son lives his life. But I promise you that is not the environment that religious Christianity puts a son into. And as we get into this, I can tell you, I'm going to tell you why you know it, that's the case, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Things that we say shows that we're not living in this reality. How we pray shows we're not living in this reality. How we treat everybody else shows that we're not living in this reality. Because the reality that Jesus, from this point on, in fact, go a little farther, when he went into the what we call the temptation of Christ, one of the things that he said was in verse 3 in chapter 4, Satan said to me, said to him, if you're the Son of God, that's verse 3, command these stones to be made bread. And verse 4, and he answered, Jesus answered, and you should see it like this. Jesus answered from the reality of a son living under an open heaven whose father speaks to him. You're my beloved, and I'm well pleased with you. From that reality, he says, no, it stands written that man will not live by natural bread alone, but on every word, every spoken word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That phrase in and of itself is telling you he's speaking from the reality of the heavens are open. Because, well, just keep going. So you move on from there. And it says in chapter 4, verse 17, he began his ministry, and the time of Jesus began in verse 17 of Matthew 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or the kingdom of heaven is here. Why? Because the heavens are open. And my Father speaks. And man is created to live in the environment of a son under an open heaven whose father says to him or her, you're my beloved, and in you I'm well pleased. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand because the heavens are open, and this is the authentic environment of a son. From that time on, in verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter and Andrew, his brother, cast a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, come with me, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now go forward from there, in verse 23. And it says, and Jesus is going throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And notice what he says, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Was this in a church building, or was this in the street? Do you know why this was happening? Because the heavens were open. The Father was speaking, and he was saying, you're my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. And since we're supposed to be functioning out of every word that's spoken from the mouth of our daddy, when he went around in the streets, he went around healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people, because the heavens were open. When you hear language from people saying, well, God doesn't do that anymore, they're not speaking from the reality of an open heaven, they're speaking from the reality of a closed heaven. When you hear people say, or statements made, that God doesn't speak to us anymore, you know that you're speaking to somebody who's not living in the authentic environment of a son, that the heavens are open. They're living from the reality, in their mind, the heavens are closed. So it says he went on healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And you move on from there, and then he goes into what we call the Beatitudes in chapter 5. But you can't read these Beatitudes without realizing that what he's saying, he's speaking these things as a reality because he's speaking from the authentic environment of a son who's living under an open heaven, whose father is speaking to him, you're my beloved, and you I'm well pleased. And he's trying to communicate to human beings, this is the reality. From that foundation, everything else I'm saying to you is built on that foundation. He says, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the heavens are open. And your Father is speaking to you. And he's saying to you, you're my beloved. In you I'm well pleased. See, when we have folks that have a challenge with the reality or the statements that may be made that man was made righteous by the resurrection of Jesus. They're not understanding that that's the authentic environment of a son, is where the Father says, "You're my beloved, and in you I'm well pleased." It wouldn't be any other way. So he goes through the Beatitudes and he talks about a number of different things, but for the sake of time, let's skip forward and look at go forward to Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 38. Matthew 5, verse 38. See, you have to read these again. You've got to read these statements from the standpoint, the foundation of the authentic environment of a son is that the heavens are open and your Father is speaking to you, "You're my beloved and I'm well pleased with you." When Paul made the statement, "Since God is for us, who can be against us?" was that a statement coming from the reality that the heavens are open or the heavens are closed? Heavens are open. Because essentially he's saying this, since Father's for me, it doesn't matter what anybody does to me. Nothing can be against me. You can never separate me from the love of God. Because I'm living in the same reality of my Father speaking to me, saying, "You're my beloved, in whom in you I'm well pleased." It's my prayer that, you know, when we do water baptisms, I don't do water baptisms just to go through the motions or to fulfill some kind of doctrinal creed. My desire in the experience of water baptism is that you come to the reality that when you come up out of that water, you need to understand that your daddy was right there and he watched the whole thing. And if you could see him, he'd be doing the fists in the air. Woo-hoo. And he's saying to you, "You're my beloved, and in you I'm well pleased." That's why we do water baptism. It's not because we're trying to fulfill a certain doctrinal perspective or a certain slant. It's because daddy wants the opportunity. It's just like a dad going to his first baseball game with his kid. And his kid is playing. The skill of the kid doesn't matter. He just likes to be there and watch his son and take part in the experience of him and his son in that moment. The reason we do water baptism is because the water baptism is for you. Peter said it very clearly. Water baptism is for you to stand there in the presence of your Father, in his presence, with a clean conscience. And he's saying to you, "You're my beloved, and in you I'm well pleased." That's the point. Your daddy just wants to take part in something with his kids. But he wants you to realize, and he wants it to be indelibly imprinted on your thought life forever, that I am my beloved's. He chose me, and he's saying to me, "In you I'm well pleased." You say, why is that important? Because the Word of God says, first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's the problem. How do we come to a church service? And I'm just speaking in generalities here, okay? So nobody in this room, but you know somebody. How do we come to a church service, take in doctrine, and then leave, but never change? How do we go to a church service or a conference or whatever it is, take in doctrine, But it never becomes us, and we don't change how we act to somebody else. The reason is because we don't have a God. We have a very low God reality. The environment of an open heaven is where your Father is constantly speaking to you, "You're my beloved, and in you I'm well pleased." What would it do in the culture of us called the church is if everyone functioned at a very high God reality in everything that we are? What would it do? It would change a whole lot of stuff. It would change a whole lot of stuff, because if you realized that you lived under an open heaven, and that since the heavens were open, everything that was His is yours, you knew that there's more where this came from. Right? That's right. This is the reason Jesus said, "Give, it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." That's just a principle of the kingdom, a principle of the environment of an open heaven. It doesn't matter whether it's talking about money or it's talking about whatever you're ministering to people. There's more where this came from. So Jesus, as a son, lived in this environment of an open heaven, and He lived in this environment of an open heaven where His Father is constantly speaking to Him, "You're my beloved, and in you I'm well pleased," all the way up until the end. Because over here in Matthew 5, verse 38, He says, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons," everybody say sons, "of your Father who is in heaven." And since you're a son, then you're living in the same open heaven that He is living in. Right? And then verse 48, He says, "Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." See, we need to get this reality that number one, the environment of a son is, since God's for me, no one can be against me, because He's constantly telling me I'm His beloved, and in me He's well pleased. See, the challenge is this: people get so far away from Him that they don't live in that reality anymore, and so they let their own reality that's between their two ears replace Him, and they let that speak into their ears, and of course that brings them down the wrong path, the wrong perspectives, the wrong attitudes, the wrong outlooks, the wrong everything. And unfortunately, the principle of love your neighbor as yourself is still working. Because it works all the time. It just depends on what you're plugging into it. And because we get so far away from our daddy, and we get so far away from the reality, that high God reality of your daddy being there and speaking to you, "You're my beloved in whom I'm well pleased," other things begin to speak into you instead, and all of a sudden you start being concerned about you. You start being concerned about everything about your life. In fact, go forward and look at even this. We've called it the, quote, Lord's Prayer. But actually, this is a son who's simply praying from the reality of an open heaven. whose father is constantly speaking to him, "You're my beloved, and you I'm well pleased." He said in chapter 6, verse 7, he says, look, don't be like the Gentiles or the ones that are disconnected. We could say it like this. Don't pray like people who live under the reality of a closed heaven. And use meaningless repetitions in your prayers. He says in verse 8, so don't be like them, for your Father... So if he wasn't speaking about the reality of sonship, he would just said God. But he always used the term Father because he was always living in that constant reality of a son who lives under an open heaven. Your Father knows what you have needed before you ask him. Verse 9, pray then like this. Our Father who is in heaven, which is open. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because heaven's open. Give us this day our daily bread, or literally you could say it like this, give us today what we have need of, because heaven's open. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgave our debtors, because we understood that the heavens were open and there's more where this came from. See, when you are living under the reality of, in your head, heavens are closed, you got what you got. And I had to fight to get this. And there's no way I'm just going to give it away, because it was too hard to get in the first place. That's somebody who's, in their mind, they're living under a closed heaven. But understand that even what Jesus says here and what we've said is the Lord's Prayer is really just a son speaking from the reality in which sons are supposed to be living. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, because the heavens are open. And there's more where that came from. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all the evil. Because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, because the heavens are open. And so be it. And then he goes on to talking about how we treat each other. Forgive others for their transgressions, because your Father also forgave you. We ought to have this mindset, folks. I know I've said this before, but if you wouldn't hear Jesus say it, it shouldn't come out of your mouth. If we all agree that Jesus is the best example of a son, and what a son does and how he functions in the environment of a son, with his Father, if we wouldn't see him doing it or saying it, we ought not say it or do it. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians, I believe it was 1 Corinthians, where Paul was talking about the communion table? He was just getting ready to talk about that whole issue, and then he went into the gifts of the Spirit. But it was all built on the premise, on the foundation of, he says, you know, when you guys get together, you need to learn to be a little more respectful towards each other. Instead of, and I'm paraphrasing probably very badly, but instead of getting together and pushing your way to the front so you can get yours, and then everybody else doesn't get any, understand that you're all one body. And I'll put this in there, because you're one body, the heavens are open. See, it affects how we respond and how we react to people. If we're not living in a very high God reality, that the heavens are open and your Father is right there, it affects how we treat people. Because people who live under a closed heaven are treating people differently than those who live under an open heaven. The Beatitudes were not just the Beatitudes and some doctrine we're supposed to mechanically put into motion. The Beatitudes were birthed from the reality of the heavens are open and my Father is speaking to me, you're my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. So therefore, because I'm your Father and you're my beloved and I'm looking at you and treating you this way, I want you to treat others the same exact way. Then he goes in and talk about, you know, that your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is clear, in other words, you're living in the reality of the heavens are open, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, and you're living in the reality between your two ears that the heavens are closed, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And the light that you think that's in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? Do you want to know why Christians are mean and bitter and trying to control everybody else? Because in their mind, the heavens are closed, because they certainly are over their life. It's not that it's so, it's just that's their reality. And we all live from the reality that we've made for ourselves. You remember the parable of the master that gave the talents? He gave one guy, he gave him one, because that's all his abilities could handle. But when he came back, the guy that he gave one, he said, look, I knew you to be a man who was hard and took what didn't belong to you. So I went and buried this, and here it is. It didn't say the master was hard. It just said, I knew you to be hard. And the master's response was, well, if you knew me to be that way, you should have at least multiplied it. He didn't ever say he was that way either. But that man was living under the reality between his two ears that the heavens are closed. So you go on, and in verse 25 of chapter 6, he says, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life. Why? Because the authentic environment of a son is that the heavens are open, and my Father is speaking to me, you're my beloved, in you I'm well pleased. Therefore, don't have any thought for your life. Don't be worried about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or for your body, what you're going to put on. Verse 31, don't worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. Why? Because in their perspectives, the heavens are closed. They say things like, the man upstairs. But make no mistake about it, there really is no access to the man upstairs. The big man. The guy in the sky. All of these things are telling you their perspective of him is the heavens are closed. And as we saw last week, the reality of the resurrection is Jesus reconciled the reality of heaven with the reality of earth, and now it's one environment. It is not two separate environments. But you can live like it's two separate environments in your head. That's why he said in verse 33 of chapter 6 of Matthew, seek first the kingdom. Why? Because the heavens are open. So for us to have prayer meetings, oh God, open the heavens. You've got to be kidding me. They're not closed. But see, if you're living as a servant outside the house and that's your perspective, You're living like the guy in the prodigal son story that was out in the field working. Everything that father had belonged to him. But he's ticked because in his mind it didn't. And he's out there working with the slaves. And it wasn't until the end, and he brings it up to his dad. He's all bitter and he's all holding a grudge. I mean, why are you doing this for this son? How can you do that? How he did to you? Don't you get it? He treated you badly, took all your stuff, and went and spent it on a bunch of whores. You know, how can you treat him like this? And I worked for you my whole entire life, and this is what I get. You know, and the father looked at him and simply said, "Everything I got belongs to you. It's always been an open heaven for you." The end of the story is not recorded, but you could almost see the look on the guy's face. Oh. Sorry. My bad. So here, look at Matthew chapter 7. Still same context. See, everything started from the baptism of Jesus and what Father said to him under an open heaven. What does it say? Do not judge so that you will not be judged. See, the world takes this, and since they only know living under a closed heaven, because that's their reality, even though Jesus opened it, and it's still open, but they just don't know that. Because the only way you can live under an open heaven is if you take his nature, and he plugs you in, and he puts himself in you, now the heavens are open. And you live in one environment, same environment in heaven as on earth, same environment. Because Jesus filled everything. But to the reality of a natural man, they say things like, "See, you're not supposed to judge. Don't judge me. I'm not judging." But Jesus didn't mean that like that. You could say it like this. In the way you judge, he says, do not judge so that you will not be judged if your reality is a closed heaven. Because in another place in John, he says, you judge according to the flesh, I judge according to my Father. My judgment is always right. Because he's living under the reality of an open heaven, I live from every word that proceeds out of my Father's mouth. He always is telling me what's actually going on. So when I make a judgment, I'm accurate because I'm not judging from a closed heaven, just from me forward, looking at a situation and making a decision. I'm living from the reality of an open heaven. All of my vantage point is coming from my daddy. And so he always shows me things. So my judgment is always right. But when he says this statement, see, you can't separate the two. He says in verse 2 in chapter 7 of Matthew, for in the way you judge, you'll be judged. What happened to that servant who took the one talent and buried it because in his mind he reckoned the master to be a hard and austere man and took what didn't belong to him. So the master said, fine. If that's the way you judge me, then I'm going to judge you in the same respect. You should have at least taken that and went and got multiplied and got interest on it. If that's what you think I am, then I'll be that. So he took it away from him and gave it to the guy that had the most, because the guy had the capacity to manage it. So he says, in the way you judge, you'll be judged by your standard of measure, whether you judge, whether you live in the reality of an open heaven or a closed heaven. It will be measured to you. Now, we could go on, but there's all the way over to Matthew 7:7, when he says, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everybody who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You know what this verse actually says for real? The word ask there is the word to command. And it's in the present tense. It means it's a constant environment. He's still speaking from the environment of an open heaven whose father is saying to him, you're my beloved and I'm well pleased with you. And so he said, from that environment, keep on requiring command and requiring, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and it'll be opened to you. It'll receive being open to you. For everyone who is requiring or commanding is receiving. And he who is seeking continually is continually finding. And he who is continually knocking is receiving it being open to them, because that's the environment of a son who lives under an open heaven. I believe these verses right here are the most ignored verses in the body. You know why? Well, that can't mean that. That just can't mean that. That doesn't mean that. It means something else. I don't know what it means, but it doesn't mean that. You know why? Because the reality to most people is the heavens are closed when he was speaking from the reality of the heavens are open. Now go over to Colossians in closing. You guys get anything out of this? Colossians chapter 3. He says this, therefore, since you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above. Now let me ask you a question. Is this language revealing the mindset of an open heaven or a closed? Open. Everything in this New Testament is open heaven. There are examples in the Old Testament of closed heaven. For example, when there was a famine, and the rulers of the country came, and I believe it was either Elijah or Elisha told them, by this time tomorrow, everything's going to be so cheap. And the guy's response was, you kidding me? God would have to open a window for that to happen. See, the reality for that guy was the heavens are closed. And the only way that's going to happen is if some kind of way, there's some kind of opening. Well, it happened just like the prophet said. So in here he says, therefore, since you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking, present tense constantly, the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Why? Because the heavens are open. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And whenever Christ, who is our life, is revealed, this is speaking of an any time moment, not just when he comes back when this whole thing's over with. This is a whenever means whenever, like whenever, like right now. If he shows up in your situation, understand that the life you're seeing manifested is yours too, because your life is hidden in him. You're intertwined together. This is not an end time verse. He says, whenever Christ is revealed, then you also are revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body. In other places, he called it the flesh. Dead. Everybody say dead. D-E-A-D. Dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And if you don't like those, go over to Galatians. There's a bunch more. You'll find one over there you like. Which amounts to idolatry. I-D-O-L, not adultery. I-D-O-L-A-T-R-Y. Say what? You know why? Because the son who's living under the reality of an open heaven, whose father is always there, speaking to him, saying, "You're my son in whom I'm well pleased." Let's see if Paul had this reality. He's saying that if we plug into our body and do things that our body likes, or act out of our emotions, or act out of our heads and not out of his head, then we're committing idolatry, which is the worship of another god. Let's see if Paul had this reality of an open heaven and a son with his daddy. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we'll live together with him. Okay, now he wasn't talking about when this whole thing is over with and you're in heaven. He's talking about the present tense reality that whether you're alive, which is awake, right now, you're living with him, or you're asleep and you've gone on and you're with him in heaven, you're still living with him. So both places, you're living together with him. Verse 27 and 28, he says, "I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." What have we said that the grace of God is? The grace of God is the empowerment because of his presence. That's what he's speaking of right here. He says, "I'm saying this by the Lord. The Lord is with me, and the Lord is asking me to have you have this letter read to all the brethren." Oh, and by the way, the grace, the empowerment that is the Lord Jesus Christ because of his presence, be with you, because he is. Just like he's with me and he asked me to have you read this letter to all the brethren. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father." 2 Corinthians 2:10, he says, "But whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ." 2 Corinthians 4:2, he says, "We renounced all the things that are hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God." Isn't it interesting that what goes on between your two ears affects how you treat somebody else? Because if you walk in the reality of something that's between your two ears, you're not walking in the reality of an open heaven with your Father saying to you, "You're my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." Because if you were walking in that reality, and that was your God reality, then you would say the same thing that Paul says, which is, "Since God's for me, nobody can be against me." So Paul says, "I'm forgiving them in the presence of Christ." 1 Thessalonians 2:5. "For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness." Verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devout and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers." 2:12, 1 Thessalonians, "Walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Why? Because he's right there with you. Because the reality of a son is you're living under an open heaven and your Father is right there. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 and 12. "To this end also we pray that our God would count you worthy." I love this verse. "They would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill every desire that you have for goodness and the work of faith." He would fulfill it with power. "So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in you and that you would be glorified in him according to the grace or the working of his power because of his presence." Because the heavens are open. And finally, this last one, 1 Timothy 2:1-3. "First of all, brethren," see, this is the one that we drop the ball on so many times because we really don't have very high God reality. First of all, then I urge you and entreat you that I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men and women that you agree with. Is that what it says? Nope. Be made on behalf of all men, for kings, for politicians, governors, presidents, senators, congressmen, city council people, mayors, everybody. All who have authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Because the heavens are open. And he's right there. See, folks, when we live in a high God reality, and this is why I say, you can't just sit in a church service and just take in doctrine and just say, well, that was a good teaching. Next. He didn't put that stuff in there for us just to have a good time with on a Sunday morning, and then, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we chose to have something be our reality besides that. Because the only thing, the reality is this, folks, when this whole thing is over with, the only thing that matters, what did you do with the reality that I created for you? The only thing that there are rewards for are what you did with the reality that Jesus bought for you. All the other stuff stays here. And we like the stuff. But to have the stuff and have all the right teachings, have all the right doctrines, so we can say, well, I think right. I'm glad I'm not like that other guy. And not realize that that's a perspective coming from a closed heaven, because you've basically closed the door and you've become the authority and the buck stops with you. That's why Paul said the love of God compels us. That since one died, all died, and since one died, all died, and so one, when he raised, all raised. Therefore, we know no man after the flesh. Why? Because that's the reality of an open heaven. You choose, you make a choice to see people around you and treat people around you as if they were risen with Christ, even before they are. Because the heavens are open. It's a done deal. And it's not your job to assume that you have a better vantage point than him, and you separate certain people outside that circle of all, having died with him and all being raised with him, and you say, no, you don't count, you're too far gone. You need to get back here yourself. And then when you've proven you're worthy to come back in this circle, then I'll include you with all the rest of them. But you got to change the way you look. You got to change your lifestyle. You got to change what you're putting in your ears. You got to change what you put on your skin. You got to change the kind of clothes you're wearing. You got to change this and you got to change that. And once you do that, then I'll include you in the all that he died for. Buddy, you're living under a closed heaven, and they ain't closed. There's somebody who's higher than you who's already said, since one died for all died, and since he was raised, all raised with him. Therefore, we are to know from an open heaven, your daddy is speaking to you, and he's telling you to know no man after the flesh. I wish that our country could get that. But it has to start with you. How do you, when we're in an environment with other people, how high is our God reality? Do we notice other people, notice their needs, notice their there? Notice, like Paul says, put others before yourself. Do we notice that, or is it just all about me? Because if we're living like that, we're living in a closed heaven, because as far as we're concerned, there isn't anybody else in the world but me. But an open heaven lives in the reality of you always honor other people. I challenge you, just in the letters that Paul wrote, go through and highlight every place where he talked about how to treat somebody else. And when you're done, see the wonders of modern technology, you can copy and paste. Pull it all out of the context, put it into a document, and you then go back and read everything you said. And that is how someone who lives under an open heaven acts, just like you said. Imagine an impact in a city when a church grows up into that. And we honor our leaders, and we honor our politicians, and we honor people around us, and I don't care what you look like, sound like, what you've chosen as a lifestyle, I don't give a rip within what it is. We still choose to honor you and value you as a human being. Because as far as your daddy is concerned, and the heavens are open over you, by the way, you just don't know that. And your father is saying, hey, come back home, man, because you're my beloved, and I'm well pleased. Imagine the impact and the authority that you'll earn to speak in people's lives when we grow up into the head and that which the head supplies. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? Well, stand up. I'll tell you another thing that you'll learn about living here is, since you already see everybody the way he sees everybody, it doesn't stop you from talking about anything as if they already understand what you're talking about. I had the honor to meet a gentleman the other day. He's a young guy. And you know, he had pretty colorful gauges in his ears. He had some pretty great skin art going on. And he just asked about this place, and he said, how did you ever decide to start a church? And I just started telling him about the revelation of the grace of God that God gave me, the fact that it's an empowerment because he joined your presence with his, and that's the way every man's created to function. I didn't talk different to him as if he wouldn't understand what I'm saying. I said, God created every human being to live in that place, in that empowerment. His presence and your presence, one presence. He looked at me. He said, man, that's deep. But I gave him what I had. He said, I used to be a young life leader. And before he left, I told him, I said, I want you to know I'm honored to have gotten to meet you. Now, did I go for the jugular and get him to pray the prayer? No. But I had the opportunity to meet a guy that my daddy loves. And give him what my daddy gave me. See, that's all we get to do. It's so much fun. Just give him what your daddy gave you, because the heavens are open and he's always speaking. Because he knows what the guys need. But you got to be willing to put yourself out there. And if you're living in the environment of an open heaven, it really doesn't matter what people think about you, because you don't exist. And you're not spending your whole life trying to defend your own self. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free from me a long time ago. I used to try to pastor based on the church was my identity. We go to conferences and the first thing the pastors ask us, how many are you running? I was running for the door. But I learned a long time ago that this is not my identity. My daddy is. I'm going to have a big church. I have a good church now, but I'm going to have a big church. And I'll tell you why I'm going to have a big church is because my daddy will say, I can trust you with it. Because the only reality you have is me. But we're going to have a big church together because our daddy wants to do some things in this city. And this city hasn't met the best Jesus there is yet. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just love you and praise you. And I ask that you cause this reality to burn into our hearts and burn into our thought life and burn into our understanding. To the point where everything we do is coming from the place of that high God reality that you're right there. Everything we say is in your presence. Everything we do is in your presence. Everything we receive and everything we give away is in your presence. And there's more where that came from. I thank you for the influence that you're building from the people's lives that are in this room, in this city. The people will run to you because of them. There will be a body and members of the body that live in this reality. The heavens are open and our daddy is telling us constantly, you're my beloved and you I'm well pleased. And because of that, signs and wonders and miracles will flow from our hands and flow from our mouths. Lives will be touched. Darkness will be stopped. And the reality of the kingdom has come to Scottsdale, come to Phoenix, come to Glendale, come to Chandler, come to Fountain Hills, come to Tempe, come to Apache Junction, and as far out as we can go. And the result will be that all of the people in these cities, they'll encompass you. And as Psalm 7:7 says, they'll encompass you and over them you'll return on high. So we just thank you and praise you for it. And we look forward to the good reports in the days to come. And everybody with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.